Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Tiger.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I feel like we should be whispering.
How tranquil.
It is. Well, it's golf, buddy.
But yesterday was not so peaceful at Augusta. They had to evacuate the course because of bad weather.
Well, let's hope it goes off without a hitch. We are delighted to welcome in Jason Sobel. He is in Augusta, our friend, the writer from the Action Network, and he joins us now on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal.
Good morning, Jason.
Jason, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys doing? I'm so pumped up for this week. I can't wait for tomorrow to start.
I am with you, and I've already had my draft, and we're all making our side jams and trying to get our final wagers in. A lot of fun. I'm not going to sit here and claim that there's more people betting on the Masters than the Super Bowl, but it is one of those events that everybody wants to do some research. Everybody wants to look at it. Everyone wants to kind of have a little investment and a little fun to go along with it.
Absolutely. I mean, this is what we're doing here. This is the future of sports gaming. This is the future of golf. Golf is going to be a big leader in this industry moving forward. And of course, the Masters is the biggest tournament of the year. So I can understand if you didn't have much action on the Valero Texas Open last week because you're not that interested in it. That's fine, but this is the Masters. Of course, everyone wants a little piece of this, and that's why we're here. That's why we're here talking to players and crunching numbers and figuring stuff out so we can help people out.
You know, Tiger talked yesterday, Jason, and it seemed like he was in pretty good spirits, and he ended it with, I think, what was pretty, you know, interesting. He said he doesn't really need to win the Masters again, but he really wants to. And if he wants to, and you look at the way he finished up last year in the couple majors, what's your read on him yesterday?
There are certainly no warning signs of, hey, he might not be at his best this week, or there's something hurting him, or anything like that. So that's a good sign. Seems like he's in good spirits. There's reports of him playing really well in a few practice sessions at Augusta National already. I believe he shot. He opened with a bogey last week and wound up shooting a 65 by the end of it, which tells us absolutely nothing as far as what's going to happen come tomorrow, but it's still better than going out and shooting a 77. So I think all good things for Tiger Woods right now. He's certainly played well enough over the first 3 months of the season. I will get into this a little bit, I'm sure, but I always look at guys for the Masters who have played well for the first 3 months. Usually you can't come to Augusta National and find your game here. You usually have it or you don't, and you'll play well if you have your game. And I think Tiger Woods has played well enough to go out and contend and even win this golf tournament. He's not at the top of my list, but not far from the top of it. And I would think that he should have a very good week this week.
Jordan Spieth has played well in Augusta, but he's not in form. He doesn't follow that trend of the last 3 months. Where are you at with him?
He is the toughest call of the week in my mind, just because of those sort of perpendicular directions of, okay, he's got no recent form, but he's got great course history, so what do we think of him? I tend to dock him a few notches just because his best finish this year is a tie for 30th that he just had at the Texas Open this past week. I just don't think he's in good enough form to figure it out for four straight days. And I went and crunched some numbers the other day. He is 16th on the PGA Tour in first-round scoring average, 14th in second round. That's pretty good, right? He is 208th in third-round scoring average, 205th in final-round scoring average. Can you guys see the problem there anywhere?
Yeah.
You're saying he'll make the cut.
Yeah, exactly.
Who are you?
He's been the first-round leader three of the last 4 years.
Right.
So I expect him to go play really well to begin, and I'm just not sure he can continue through the weekend.
Jason, inch and a half of rain has fallen since Monday at Augusta. Who do you think that favors if the course is as soft as it might be?
It always favors the longer hitters just a little bit, I think, and I put this on Twitter and I had people arguing with me yesterday, but in some respects, the rain can soften things up so much that the longer hitters can't go for the par fives in two, and the other guys will will be hitting, you know, 6 irons when the longer hitters are hitting 8 irons. So it almost levels the playing field a little bit. So I think we tend to say soft golf course, playing longer, advantage big hitters, and that isn't always necessarily the case, and I don't know that that's going to be the case this time either. Back in 2007, Zach Johnson famously laid up on the par fives every single day, made 11 birdies on those 16 holes, and won the golf tournament. So I could certainly see something like that happening this year, where on Sunday evening we say, boy, the course was playing long, it was soft. How come this guy who doesn't bomb the ball really far down the fairways was able to win? And it's because you're going to be able to stick some wedges out there a little bit, even though the greens will be firm. They've got a sub-air system here. They can do whatever they want at Augusta National with these greens.
Who's going to win it? Who are you betting on?
I have at the top of my list, I've been ranking the field for 15 years now. I do the entire field, 1 through 87. Top of my list, I've got Ricky Fowler. I just think he's ready to go win a major championship. He's got all the things that I look for. He's in really good recent form. He won in Phoenix a couple of months ago. He's had a few top 10 finishes. He was second place runner-up to Patrick Reed last year. So a good course history. And again, I just think he's ready. We've seen 3 straight first-time major champions at Augusta winning this golf tournament the last 3 years. And I think Ricky adds to that list. I've got him on top of mine going into this week.
What's realistic expectation for Phil Mickelson? He came out last week. He spent some time at Augusta practicing. He's there. Looks like a kid again. He's enthusiastic as ever, but I don't know. He's also 49.
Realistic expectation is that he can go out and win this golf tournament. I have no doubt that he can do it. He won at Pebble just a couple of months ago. He's good enough to go out there and do it. He still has the game. He has the experience, which is such a factor here at Augusta National. So, no, if I were him, I wouldn't come into this thing saying, hey, if I get a top 10, that's a nice little consolation prize, and I'd be okay with that. He's coming out here to win this golf tournament, and that should be what he's thinking about coming into this one, because he still has the talent, even at 49, still has the talent and the skill to come out and win on this golf course for a fourth time.
I was reading some of your stuff, and you talk about you know, what you're looking for. We just discussed some of it, but the idea that that no pre-tourney favorite has won the Masters in the last decade, and yet nobody higher than 50-1 has won it in the last 7 years. Who's your dark horse? Who's your long shot candidate? Who? How can we invest in this thing? And if we don't take Fowler,
I'll give you a few names. And again, I don't think that the guy slipping on the green jacket come Sunday is going to be a name from out of nowhere. It's going to be a face that you instantly recognize. Maybe not one of the absolute top players. Maybe not a Rory, maybe not even a Ricky, maybe not a Tiger. Look at Matt Kuchar and what he's done so far this year. He's had a terrific season so far. He plays well at Augusta. I like him. Ian Poulter is a guy who has played really well at Augusta. When he's got his game, and he has it this year, 4 top 6 finishes coming into this event this week, when he's got his game, he can play really well at Augusta. I like him. Mark Leishman's another one. He's usually better on fast, firm surfaces rather than soggy, wet ones. But the year that Adam Scott won, his fellow Aussie who he played with in the final rounds, it was wet out that year, and Leishman finished, I believe, 4th place. So he's a guy that I really like as well. And those are guys that even if you're not picking them to win, you got an office pool, you want to do some daily fantasy, whatever you're doing, those are some guys that I really like that are just a little below the elite players.
Patrick Reed returns as sort of the unlikely defending champion, Jason, and he's got some family drama he's dealing with. How do you think he's handling that, and what do you expect out of him?
Well, he had the family drama last year as well. There's a big story in the New York Times about it yesterday, and obviously he's still dealing with that, but I don't think that's the problem as much as he just started working with a new swing coach. He just started working with David Ledbetter 2 weeks ago. He's trying to find something. Like I said earlier, I don't like guys who are trying to find something coming into the Masters. I think you either have it or you don't. I don't think that Patrick Reed quite has his game where he needs it to be dialed in right now. And so I don't love him coming into this week. You look at his trend last year, he had 3 top 10 finishes. In the 3 starts leading up to the Masters. So you look back and say, okay, I didn't pick him, but maybe I should have seen it coming because he had been playing really well. This year, he does not have that kind of form. So I do not expect a big week from Patrick Reed and his title defense.
OK, Can I give you my team and tell me if I'm miles off?
Yeah,
please.
Because I got to do some side jams. So I ended up with, I was picking 13th. I got Spieth. Okay. I got Matsuyama. I got Matt Wallace and Siwoo Kim.
I actually really like those sleepers. I like Matt Wallace a lot. I've got him for top debutant, which is kind of weird they put it in the books. Debutant makes it sound like he's going to the Masters Ball or something like that. But I call it top rookie, top first-timer. Anyway, I really like Matt Wallace. Siwoo Kim is a guy who either plays really, really well or really, really badly, and you might as well take a flyer. You're trying to win this thing. Doesn't matter if you finish in third place. So who cares about consistency? Go for the volatile guy, and Siwoo Kim could go out there and win this golf tournament. He's won the Players' Championship. He's beaten really good fields before. So, yeah, why not? And again, I don't love Spieth. I really do like Matsuyama. So, to me, Spieth is the X factor there. If Spieth has a typical Spieth week at Augusta National, that's a really solid team.
Jason, after all these years of covering it, when you go back to Augusta every year, the quirk or tradition that you look forward to the most, what is it?
There's so many traditions here. There are so many traditions. From players skipping the balls across the water to the par three contest, to the honorary starters on Thursday morning. There's just so many great things about this place. My personal tradition, guys, and it probably doesn't stack up to any of those, but as I tweeted out yesterday, I take one of those green wrappered egg salad sandwiches. I slide some bacon in there, put it back together, make a little bacon and egg salad sandwich. I'm telling you, that's the best thing you're going to find at Augusta, and you got to kind of make it yourself. But that's my own personal tradition.
That's great.
Other people have other traditions, but that's my tradition.
That's great. Yeah, you look forward to that every year.
Oh, that's great.
Exactly.
Jason, thanks a ton. We appreciate it, buddy.
Good
great stuff.
You got it, guys. Enjoy the tournament this week.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Buddy. Jason Sobel, I'm okay. I'm dark horsing it up. But
you just wanted to have the endorsement of somebody there. And like, you
know,
feel better
did you
about
hear
your,
the
good.
Desperation in my voice?
Yeah, I did.
All I want is him to tell me that it would not be idiotic to try to
when
top
he
someone.
Said that he liked your choices, you looked like
he
Stan Bowman on
made
the podium.
That crap up.
I had, you know what it was? David, I dreamed that I had a great team.
You dreamed it. And it came true. You do.
312-644-6767 is the number. I am a fool. We're going to
I get a kick out of you guys.
We're going to talk a little bit about the takeaway from the NCAA tournament, and we'll talk to Jeff Goodman, a man who wrote earlier in the year that the best coach in college basketball was none other than Tony Bennett. And that was a reach at the time, and now he's written about a champion. So
that was prescient.
We'll talk to him about that. Don't start. Dustin will get mad.
I mean, look it up.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.